Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And it's Don Dubuque with you on this Saturday morning. Generally, I am with you on Saturdays from 5 to 7 with the Outdoor Show. I'm doing some special coverage of the aftermath of Hurricane Ida, trying to help our listeners get through this, whether you're here and you're dealing with power outages or insurance problems, or if you're from afar listening, when can you come back home and check out your home and get moved back in? Those are things we try to provide for you. And, of course, the basic necessities, food, water, ice, and then after that, maybe some fuel. But those are the necessities to get through these tough times. We have with us the Louisiana State Insurance Commissioner, Mr. Jim Donilon, is joining us. Jim, thanks for being with us on this Saturday morning. I know you're a busy guy doing this week.
Well, we are busy, but it's a pleasure to be with you, Don. I always enjoy your Saturday morning reports on what's happening out in the marsh, whether it's ducks or fish. I appreciate it, even if I'm not there.
Well, that's a great compliment. Thank you. And it's always fun to talk about those things. This, not so much, but we got to do it.
Right.
Jim, I think what we'll do is let you get out any breaking information about insurance claims here, and then I'll get to some of the specific ones I'm hearing from the listeners, and then maybe give some tips and advice for dealing with your insurance company as we get time available for that. But if you would, maybe just start off and tell us the general status of what insurance claims are going through right now in the state of Louisiana.
Well, the reporting agencies that do the projections on catastrophic loss after every event are reporting that this will be a record-breaking all-time, not Katrina level, but nothing close to second to Katrina has happened in our state or anywhere else from a hurricane. They're projecting $15 to $20 billion in insured losses being paid as a result of Ida. Katrina still holds the all-time insured loss event record for any insured loss event. And I'm talking 9/11, the tsunami and earthquake in Japan. We collected in Louisiana alone for Katrina insured losses $23.3 billion. And you'll recall 3 weeks later, we collected another $3.3 billion for Rita losses. And then last year, we had Laura cost $8.6 billion in insured losses in the Lafayette area, followed a month later by Delta that came through the same exact footprint that Laura had devastated. So it's costly. It's expensive. We had 1 million claims for Katrina. We had a third of 1 million last year for Laura, Delta, and Zeta. We'll probably have 500,000 claims this year. But you led off with what's the latest in the what's happening in the claims arena. Yesterday, I issued a bulletin to all insurers telling them that they should not use the mandatory evacuation language that's in virtually all property insurance policies as a trigger to enable claimants to access additional living expense coverage for up to 14 days. That's the typical when forced to evacuate, to be put out of their premises and barred from returning by a mandatory evacuation order. And frankly, that language is there to stop abuse with any threatening weather, enabling people to collect 14 days of compensation just by a voluntary evacuation order. And in this case, It was not issued as a mandatory for fear of putting people, constituents of public officials, in greater danger trying to evacuate and being caught in gridlock, as did happen the year before, Katrina, when we evacuated the first time we tried contraflow for Hurricane Ivan that ended up in Pensacola and doing devastating damage. But people were stuck in the Atchafalaya Bridge area for 8 hours in August, with nowhere to go, with no restroom facilities, no food, no water, because of the gridlock that happened. So prudently and appropriately, public officials, with the fast approaching storm that Ida became, said, we're not going to order a mandatory evacuation because, frankly, it won't work. And people will be put in greater danger than if they stay in place in their homes. And now that trigger, if you will, that protection against abuse of the system is standing between these evacuees who did evacuate, collecting what they justly and rightly should collect, although the language of their policy says not. And I was actually approached while discussing this within our own ranks by Allstate, saying they wanted me to issue such a bulletin to the industry so that they could accommodate. And then I have learned since that USAA has started doing the same thing after the president urged on Thursday that the insurers not use that mandatory evacuation trigger as a bar to folks who did evacuate getting out of harm's way, right to collect up to 14 days for the expenses of that evacuation.
Well, that's only common sense. I mean, people were running for their lives, whether you call it voluntary or mandatory. I mean, they're getting out of Dodge because they have to for fear of their lives. How does this language get resolved? Is this something that has to be done by the Congress? Can it be done by executive order? That needs to be changed and gotten into line so we won't have to deal with that problem.
Well, it is an issue, and it does need to be addressed. It's not a congressional issue because insurance is regulated, and everybody agrees it's better regulated at the state level. Something called McCarran-Ferguson was passed by Congress back in the 40s and says that insurance shall be regulated at the state level. Now, here and there, they've gotten into the insurance business over the decades. The first that resonates with us is back in the 60s after Hurricane Betsy, when they created the National Flood Insurance Program. Not insurance, but administered by companies, adjusted by private adjusting firms, serviced by agents selling and servicing the policies. But the risk is borne by the federal government. It's actually a FEMA program. You know, Medicare is a health insurance program. The Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, got into health insurance. So they can and do. They did TRIA, Terrorism Risk Insurance Act, after 9/11. So they do venture into and can venture into even this issue, but generally stay out of the details and the nuances, if you will, of insurance regulation, leaving it to the states. That language has been there in policies. It's called civil authority for that 14-day. I call it the short-term additional living expense. If your premises are rendered uninhabitable, then that triggers long-term additional living expense, as you have to leave while the repairs are being done and stay off out of your home. Those expenses are reimbursable under virtually all policies as well. But this one is about short-term. It does require a mandatory evacuation, and it has not been a problem for us with all of our hurricanes up until now. It hasn't been a problem in any other state, and that language is virtually identical in every company's policy in every state in America. So we'll look at it, but this is a unique situation that is a first time anywhere in America to trigger this discussion of additional living expenses. I'm hopeful that the companies will do the right thing and follow the president's urging and my urging, and I think that the combination of me, their regulator, that involved in this issue, and the president saying to do it will result in, if not all, virtually all companies ignoring that part of their policy language.
Could the marketplace have some bearing on this if the companies are made public who cooperate with this and people see that and they move their insurance over? That certainly would be motivation to make the changes.
No question. And the last sentence in my bulletin yesterday said, for those who do accommodate this request, I can't force them, but those who do, please notify me so that as we investigate complaints filed by consumers, then we can tell them your company did, your company did not. And as companies start to say that they will abide by this request, I will post such a list with a link on my website, ldi.la.gov, www.ldi.la.gov.
Very good. Jim, I'll start with some of these questions. Someone wants to know if they should apply for FEMA, even though they have insurance, especially if you don't have enough damage to meet a large hurricane deductible. Is that true? Will FEMA compensate you for your deductible that you had to pay?
I do not know the answer to that second question. I do know the answer to the first question, and that is absolutely. Everybody should go to FEMA's website. It's not under my authority. It's under the governor's authority, and apply. There's no harm in doing that. It's a very simple, easy process to do it. The rules have not been rolled out yet. The Road Home program had different rules than the Lake Charles Laura aftermath last year, and this event will probably have yet a different set of rules and requirements. But to the first question, absolutely, everybody should file and get on record with a number, kind of like a claims number. It will be given to those who apply for assistance, and the details on what they'll cover and what they won't cover will be forthcoming in the weeks, probably even into the months ahead.
Jim, a lot of these questions are going to be best answered by insurance companies because they may all have different policies, but perhaps you can help some of these people. Mm-hmm. Question sure. Saying, what about those, and this is going to be a lot of people, who rode the storm out in a house with no power? And I'm not talking about just riding it out. They stayed in it while they were waiting for the power to come back. How would an insurance company handle the uninhabitable compensation portion for those policies? Someone who stayed in a home, some people might consider it uninhabitable, and others consider it livable because they actually stayed in it. But would the fact that they stayed in the house defeat any claim that they might make that it was uninhabitable?
Well, I guess we're talking uninhabitable only applies to the long term, for lack of that's my term, long term additional living expense, and lack of power, lack of water, does not render an individual policyholder's premise uninhabitable. It's the damage to their premise, that a tree through the roof, that is at issue with whether or not it's uninhabitable. And yes, you do have to have expenses in order to be compensated for those expenses. There's no provision that says we can compensate you for the pain and suffering that you endured, for the heat and the lack of water, for having stayed there for X number of days when it was, quote, too hot and dangerous and all of the above. And it certainly was, no question about it. But no, there's no compensation for unexpended expenses related to, in particular, even in the case of a tree through the roof. If you're living there, if you choose to stay there, then you have incurred no loss that's compensable under your insurance policy.
Got it. Great explanation. We're talking with State Insurance Commissioner Jim Donlan. If you've got a particular question or issue that you'd like answered, text it or call us, 504-260-1870. Jim, I'm getting a couple of common questions here, more than one, about people wanting to know about generators. Would they be covered under an additional living expense? Please clarify if it's covered.
Actually, I'm shocked to say this, but I've not had that question before, so I can't definitively say yes or no. But generally, in my experience, no, because it's not a expense that you incur from a third party, like a hotel or a campground or what have you. It's something that you buy for your own benefit and install. You can do other things too to strengthen your house, to make it more comfortable. You can put an air conditioner in a garage apartment or a room of your house, a portable air. My sister down in Florida, who went through multiple hurricanes, walking around in eyeballs in the horrible year they had in 04, with four coming through in one hurricane season. She bought a one-room air conditioner. But I can't definitively say not, but I don't think it would be covered.
All right, here's one that says they're insurer.
Let me go back to that. But let me go back to that for a second. When you make your claim, and everyone should make a claim immediately now for additional living expense, for whatever shingles are off of their house, even if they know that it's below their hurricane deductible, they should make their claim now rather than later on. And a couple reasons. Number one, if you do have to hire a contractor and do have damage that's compensable by your insurance company, the sooner you get your adjuster out, the sooner you'll get your check. The sooner you get your check, the sooner you'll be able to go out and hire and contract with a legitimate, local, licensed, insured, reputable roofer contractor. Because trust me, there will be hundreds of storm chasers, they're called, coming into our area and preying on people who get a large check and are desperate to get their roof fixed, their home put back together. And that's a perennial problem all across America, whatever the disaster is. So the sooner the better. Number two, even if you're not going to reach your hurricane deductible, we have a law in Louisiana. We copied from Florida after their 04 experience when we had back-to-back. One was Gustav and the next was Ike, threatening to come through the exact area of Houma and Lake in Baton Rouge that Gustav had just done. We copied the law that Florida had passed, limiting hurricane deductibles to one per hurricane season. And that helped folks in Lake Charles last year because Delta came through a month later, the same path that Laura had devastated just a month before. So even if you don't reach your deductible, by filing a claim and getting it documented that you had shingles off, you had to get it repaired, it cost $4,000, but you had a $5,000 hurricane deductible. If, Lord forbid, we have a second event, we're only halfway through this hurricane season, then the next hurricane deductible would only be $1,000 because you will have used up $4,000 of it with the first claim. So there's plenty of reason to file a claim and get yourself a claim number, including what the caller was asking about, the possibility of getting the generator covered.
Right. Jim, I got an interesting question here. This one says that their insurer states that he has no wind or hail including in the policy to cover the roof. I don't know what else would cover a roof other than a flood, which would be, you know, really a total loss. But anyway, it said the FEMA application asked if I have homeowner's insurance. Homeowner's insurance said, you got no claim for your roof. What should be my next move? He applied to FEMA, and the application went directly to the SBA, Small Business Administration. Thank you.
Well, again, I don't deal with the FEMA end of things. That falls under the governor and frankly, the Congress, because FEMA is a federal program. But I think I know what that caller is referring to. There are thousands of policies out there, homeowners policies, that exclude wind and hail. I remember being asked by my best friend on my way to an LSU game after Katrina and Rita, the Peach Bowl it was in Atlanta, and he had a policy, and it excluded or was going to exclude wind and hail, his company. And he tells me on the way to the game, well, what's left? And I said, dog bites, kitchen fires,
earthquake,
and other things, and other things. But what has happened in Florida and in Louisiana, and I'm sure other states, is companies were unwilling to write hurricane protection and coverage. And so they started Xing wind and hail. And the markets of last resort, in our case, it's Citizens, provides coverage for those who are X'd wind and hail by their insurer. So that leaves you then with three policies: the flood insurance policy from FEMA, the homeowner's policy from whoever your homeowners is with, and the Citizens state-sponsored market of last resort for wind and hail. That's probably what he is running into. Probably, well, I hope not on, he wasn't unaware and didn't get his agent to get him a Citizens wind and hail policy. And there are private companies writing wind and hail only policies as well in our state. So I hope he has it, but if he doesn't, that's something he needs to talk to his agent about.
Absolutely. Or maybe look at another company. I mean, what else could there be other than somebody,
correct,
a thief, a burglar, they steal your roof maybe. Is that possible? I don't know. Anyway, this one came up, and I was thinking this when we were talking, going back to the mandatory versus voluntary evacuations. Someone wanted to know if a parish president could retroactively declare a mandatory evacuation. In other words, after it's gone through, you could certainly prove by what it leaves behind, all the records, that, yeah, this was definitely a mandatory evacuation. We did not call it in the interest of safety for the people who would be evacuating to get caught in it. But now looking back at it, it certainly qualifies as one. Would that be a temporary fix until they can get the issue resolved through other means?
Don, you have some savvy listeners. I got to give it to you. That was part of a one-day discussion amongst the governor's office, myself included, and others as a way to address this issue. It was decided that it brought with it more complications, if you will. Litigation, certainly, but as one public official said, I'll worry about the lawsuits later. I'm going to save lives now. And I said, I'm totally in agreement with you. If that's what we should do, let's do it. But let's try to call on the industry to do the right thing and not further complicate this mess with trying to do it retroactively. And it brings, in addition to legal issues, it brings equity issues into play. If there are going to be any companies resisting, they would have a say in the matter in courts as well. So I think the companies will step up and do the right thing and eliminate the need for that. But that is one of the objects, the discussions that we've had in recent days as a way to address this issue.
Yeah, I'm hoping it'll become consumer-driven, but we'll see. Time will tell on that. All right, well, I'll tell you what. I've got many common themes, but I've got a couple of callers on. Let's go to Matthew holding on.
Sure.
He's got a question for you, Jim. Hello, Matthew. You're on with Louisiana Insurance Commissioner Jim Donlin.
So I just got a phone call from a tree company that says that, yeah, they will start taking the tree off my house if I assign the right to bill the insurance company to them, and no, they don't give estimates. And the one part of me says, ooh, this sounds like a great idea. The other part of me is wondering, sounds like there's a hook there somewhere.
Well, that is a common practice in Florida. And generally, the companies that are asking you to assign your benefits to a roofing company are also partnered with a lawyer and with a public adjuster. And that may be the arrangement that this person, this company has. May not be. I don't know. But I will tell you to be careful, because once you assign your benefits, then you're in the hands of that roofer.
Well, there's a tree company.
Well, tree company. And it works with roofers the same way. And some insurance companies have put in their provision a requirement that you get their approval before you assign your benefits to a third party. That also needs to be looked into and can be. It's hard for citizens to decipher all the technicalities contained in an insurance policy, no question. But a phone call to your agent first is the first thing you need to do.
A phone call to my agent. Oh, that's a rich one, Commissioner. That's a rich one.
That's what?
I think he's saying that getting a hold of agents at this point is very difficult. I think that's the message we got from that.
Call this number, 800-259-5300. We'll get your agent post-haste. Not a problem. You do have to wait till Tuesday. We're not manning the phone. We manned them all week with volunteers from our staff, and only we received 300 calls a day on average for the 4 days since the hurricane. But we'll be back 8 o'clock Tuesday morning, and we'll get you in touch with your agent. No question about it. Now, some folks buy their policies direct, 800 numbers. USAA only does direct. Progressive does agents, and they also do direct. So if you shouldn't have any trouble reaching an 800 number out of state. But if you have trouble reaching a local agent, and I can understand why that would be the case, call us. We'll put you in touch with that agent the same day.
All right, very good. Let's go to Dora now. Dora, you're on with State Insurance Commissioner Jim Donlan.
Hi, yes. We decided to stay for the storm, and it's been a week, and I have an emergency savings, but now we're running out of money. I do have additional living expenses through my insurance. Now, if we decide to leave for the next 2 weeks, because we're in Tangipahoa Parish, and that's when the target date is supposed to be, can I claim that on my insurance?
You can. You certainly claim it. And you probably have a valid argument for additional living expenses up to 14 days. It is difficult if you're doing it because it's too hot. It's harder to justify.
But to me, if I would have left, y'all'd be paying it.
Say
now
again?
I'm deciding to leave now. So it's either you pay me before or you pay me after. I don't understand why. We thought we had enough money, but with the gas prices going up, and just between last Tuesday and today, it's already been a 50-cent jump at the pumps.
Well, you can't get that back from your insurance company. That's not a basis for a claim. I understand the pain.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is, what's the difference if I decided to stay and ride out the storm and then evacuate? Or just evacuated, because y'all would pay me then.
What's the difference?
Yeah.
You say?
Yes,
You didn't have expenses while you were there. You didn't have a hotel bill. Now you're saying, give me the hotel stay now because I've put up with a week, and you have, and I want to get out of this misery for the second week. Submit it. File a claim. If you're unhappy with what your company tells you, file a complaint with us, and we'll look into it. We'll write a letter immediately, send an email immediately to the company, giving them 15 days to explain why they turned down your claim, if they turn it down. I don't know what their position will be. It will vary probably from company to company on situations as you described. Folks who choose to evacuate after not having done so at the peak of the hurricane risk.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Dora. Surely. We appreciate your call. Jim, that brings up an interesting point. I'm sure a lot of people are not aware that that is a service that the State Office of Insurance performs for people, that you will actually register or investigate these complaints with the companies. And there could be any number of reasons why people are not happy with their insurance company. Do you feel like the fact that your office contacts these companies, that in itself, when you lay out the story to them, that might be motivation enough for them to honor the claim?
It certainly motivates them. And what I describe our role is similar to the Better Business Bureau. And it even comes with a centralized deposit system in Kansas City, manned by the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, for complaints against companies and total by company and the valid complaints against those companies, just like the Better Business Bureau does. But in addition to that, if we find egregious behavior by a company, we can take action, including fining, including suspending their license, including revoking their license. So they surely take notice when we tap on their door and say, hey, you have an unhappy policyholder that is complaining to us. Explain yourself. And they it rises to a higher level. We did 1,700 formal complaints in the aftermath of Laura Delta and Zeta over the past year. We added, by our estimate, a little over $50 million to what was being offered to these 1,700 complaining policyholders when we finished our investigation. Companies came up with additional compensation for those folks. So it works. It's easy. It's very user-friendly, and we encourage folks. I spent $100,000 telling folks about it on radio ads and telling folks, take the first check. Don't turn the money down. Take the check and deposit it. It's first-party coverage. There's no release. It doesn't end the claim. If you find that lumber went up, and from the time that you adjusted your claim with your company at the outset, then you can file a supplemental claim and get the difference between what was paid to you for lumber or for labor, if labor went up, or if you discovered heretofore undiscovered mold behind the sheetrock in your house, in your wall, that came in when the roof partially shed shingles and became vulnerable. All of that is available through our complaint department. And I might add, we got $600,000 from the legislature in the last session to do what's called market conduct examinations. We have identified five companies as the ones in most, in our judgment, in most need of us sending this national company, R&R Market Conduct Examiners, into their offices to look over their records to see if how prompt they were in communicating with their policyholders, how prompt they were in sending checks that were promised in the adjusting process, et cetera. That is undergoing underway right now. We spent the $600,000 doing it. We get all of that money back from the companies because under the law, if we go into their office and do a market conduct exam, they owe us the expense. So the state fronted the money for us to do this to check on their claims handling processes. But we will get that money back, and it will be paid back to the state at the end of those five market conduct exams. So it's a serious regulatory tool that has a very positive effect for policyholders, so that I really urge them to take advantage of it.
Absolutely. When they're shopping for their policy, that's certainly some information that's extremely valuable in making that choice. Where is that available, that report, that people can look
that's,
at?
That's at the NAIC. But frankly, in an even better tool for shopping purposes is what we did also. We took our 1,700 formal complaints and compared them to the market share of a company. And if a company had 10% of the market share, then they, by mathematical evaluation, should have 10% of the complaints. If they have more than 10% of the complaints, under our complaint index, they are above their proportionate share. That complaint index is also the report, the results of that analysis is also on our website, ldi.la.gov, by company. So that's a handy tool for looking at how companies performed over the past year in Laura, Delta, and Zeta.
Very good. Let's take one more call if we can. Let's get Chris in Madisonville. Chris, thanks for your call. You're on with Jim Donald, Louisiana State Insurance Commissioner.
Hi, guys. I live in Madisonville, Louisiana. We have Entergy. We're one of like only 5,000 people over here with Entergy on the North Shore. But we did not evacuate, and we were being pretty self-sufficient at first when we had food from the freezer, but now everything's gone. So now we have to go out and eat all the meals. We have to go get gas because we got to keep running to these places. We're going through batteries like crazy because we try to keep light in the house at night. And I was wondering if either FEMA or my insurance company would make me whole from that.
Claim both. I doubt that you'll get the batteries from your insurance company, but file your claim. The contents, did you say you lost food and things in your freezer?
Correct.
That is covered by your homeowner's policy. So file that. What's that?
What about my hurricane deductible? No, that's like $5,400.
That may apply. It varies from company to company, just like the additional living expense comes with three different kinds of deductibles we approved them all, but we found when we checked into the companies this past week as to which deductible is applicable to this civil authority temporary short-term, as I call it, additional living expense. So it may and probably is subject to your hurricane deductible. But do you have other damage as well?
No, sir. We have a tree on a house that did not do damage, so we made it pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Those items, I doubt. Well, the contents of the freezer, the policy I recently looked at had $500. It may differ with your company, and I urge you to file the claim anyway, because the tree that laid on your house, it's like the one that laid on my house in the aftermath of Katrina. I had a pine tree lay on my house, and it just moved a dozen shingles around. Didn't do any significant damage, but had to take the tree down. Have you taken the tree down?
Yes, sir.
That's covered.
Okay.
Certainly. So you need to file it. You may be above your deductible, but even if you're not, you need to get it on record in the event you have another horrific event like we just went through, like Lake Charles had last year, because that will accumulate and reduce your named storm deductible for that next event.
Oh, okay. And what about the food expenses? Is that something that they're going to pay for, even though I did not evacuate?
No. You would have had food expenses.
You have to eat anyway.
Correct. Let me add this.
Three meals a day out.
let me add this to what you may be entitled to, and I wanted to mention it anyway. Under your policy, under any policy, including the National Flood Insurance Program policy, policyholders have a duty to minimize their damage. And that duty does not require you to put yourself, your safety at risk, but it does require you to take reasonable steps to prevent further damage happening as a result of the tree moving shingles around on your roof that may cause a leak that you're not aware of at this point because it hadn't been raining. But it's going to start raining again next week, and you may find that it created a mold behind the walls in your house. So you can, under your policy, you can take the steps necessary to prevent that from happening. You have a duty, in fact, to minimize your losses. And whatever expense for labor and materials that you incur, reasonable expenses, are covered by your insurance policy, your homeowner's insurance or flood policy. So I urge everyone to be mindful of that. Very few people are, and take those steps in their own benefit and on their own behalf, but also because they have a duty under their policy to do that.
All right, we need to take the break. Chris, good luck to you. Jim, thanks for spending time on a Saturday morning. Hope maybe we can do this again real soon, because I've got lots of questions that people have need to be answered with regard to insurance. And I tell you, in the long line of insurance commissioners, you are certainly a breath of fresh air. We really appreciate you being here.
Well, I will be here at your request, and I appreciate the opportunity. I am impressed with your listeners, Don. I got some really good questions here this morning.
They are the greatest, no doubt about it. Thanks again, Jim.
Good deal, sir. Bye-bye.
All right, Jim Donilon, Louisiana State Insurance Commission. All right, coming back after this, I think we got an update from St. Tammany Parish President Mike Cooper. Then I'll wrap it up here and turn it over to our team WWL as we continue the Hurricane Ida aftermath right after this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.